Well, my name's Lincoln Hanks, and this is Ryan Board and Daryl Tippins. All three of us are going to have a part in this session today. Thank you for coming. It's a session on singing, so I thought we'd start with a song. So let's go with the first song in your packet. This is a Swahili song, and how many of you have sung this before? Mungu Nimwe Ma. Okay, a couple of us. So first of all, repeat after me. Mungu.
Mungu.
Nimwe ma.
Nimwe ma.
And you can really get that first word right if you put your lips into a round shape and just go mungu, and it works perfectly.
Mungu.
And it means know that God is good. So let's sing a little bit just together of those of the Swahili verse, and then we'll see how it goes, okay?
Mungu nimwe ma. Mungu ni mwema, Mungu ni mwema, ni mwema, ni mwema, Mungu ni mwema, Mungu ni mwema, Mungu ni mwema, ni mwema, ni mwema,
Mungu,
Mungu ni mwema.
Parts going too, yeah. So we're not going to worry about that. So what I'm going to do is you can see there are three verses, two are in English, and I'm going to provide some lead. So you don't know which one I'm going to sing, but you're going to hear me sing the beginning of that verse right before we start into that new verse. Okay, so be paying attention to what I do. Okay, from the top again. Here we go. And
Mungu ni mwema. Mungu ni mwema. Mungu ni mwema. Ni mwema. Ni mwema.
Know that
God is good.
Know that
God is good.
Know that
God is good. God is good. God is good.
Know that
God is good.
God is good.
Surprise you. So I hope you'll come our way and tell your friends about it. There will be a few days in between the Bible lectures and Ascending Voice, so you may want to plan to have just like a long weekend vacation in between, get reconstituted and rested up after Bible lectures, and then just stay over for Ascending Voice number 4. We're thinking a lot about singing and congregational singing. Lincoln and Ryan and I are. And we think there's a time. This is the time to have a serious conversation within our churches and with our worship leaders about what's happening to congregational singing. There have been a lot of fussing going on over the last decade or two about church music, and some people think those discussions and even fights are misplaced when you think of the great world issues that are facing us. But I'd like to suggest that actually, while maybe some of our arguing and our debating is perhaps trivial at times and maybe egocentric at times, still at the very core of this discussion or debate is something very, very important that matters. And so we would like to have that conversation with you and encourage you to go home to your own churches and have this this conversation about why congregational singing is absolutely essential for the health and the well-being of congregational life. And even more than that, or equal to that, your own personal spiritual health and well-being depends in powerful ways on congregational singing. In Churches of Christ, because we have been overwhelmingly, predominantly a cappella from virtually our inception, a lot of the debate of late has been about instrumental music versus a cappella music, and I understand that discussion, and it perhaps continues to be important, but I want to suggest to you that there's something here even bigger than instruments versus a cappella. And that is whether we are seriously congregational in our worship or not. I have been in a cappella services recently where people are singing less and less. And I've been in instrumental music services where the singing was more, or at least as much, as in the a cappella. And so we need to be thinking about this because Christians in all sorts of denominations right now are finding a problem. They're discovering that congregational singing is dying out. Not in Africa or Asia, but in North America and in Europe. And I don't think we are fully cognizant of the loss that will come when people quit singing. Recently, I asked the minister of the church where Ann and I attend, I said, just plant the people you trust in the auditorium on a given Sunday and just ask them to notice whether everyone is singing fully and robustly or not and report back to you what they're finding. And it turns out, in many of our churches, people are being disenfranchised. Their voice is being silenced. And I think the causes for that have to be talked about. Part of them are external. It's the culture we're in, where it's a performance-oriented culture where people live their whole lives. Think of young people who live their whole lives hearing only professionally produced music. It's easy to imagine how you could grow up in a culture where you think your ordinary and perhaps untrained voice is no longer welcome. That's happening everywhere. But I also believe that there are forces within even a cappella traditions that are silencing the voice of the people. And this is disturbing to me. Do you know the title of our series, where that comes from? Psalm 22. Everybody knows the first verse of Psalm 22. Jesus sang it from the cross. His dying words were a song. My God, why have you forsaken me? But then the answer is, but God is enthroned on the praises of Israel. If you go to the Hebrew word there where it says it's enthroned, it's the verb to dwell or sit or indwell. That God is indwelling in the praises of his people. Have you thought about how that singing is really sacramental, even if we don't use that word? The sacrament means that some external or physical or material object is the vehicle or means of divine grace, right? How many of you have received grace through a hymn? Yeah. Many of us today are Christians because of the hymnody. There's a wonderful little book by a a Scotsman, John L. Bell. He is writing a lot of the music for the Iona community. By the way, there's a speaker here today who's leading a group to Iona next summer. I hope some of you will look at your calendar and consider joining the group that's going to Iona. He has a little book called The Singing Thing, A Case for Congregational Song. And this man comes from an instrumental music tradition, but he has some of the best arguments for congregational singing I've ever seen. In fact, some of the best arguments for congregational singing are not from within churches of Christ. They're from people around the world, and they're from people from other traditions. And some of them will be at Ascending Voice 4. But I thought I'd share with you one observation that Mr. Bell makes. He says for 15 years they've been interviewing people who come to the Iona community to worship and sing. And he says, when the group asks people to recount what for them has been a significant worship experience, only 1 in 100 ever mention a sermon. I'm sorry for the preachers in the audience, but I'm just quoting the facts. And those who do mention a sermon usually are themselves preachers. More commonly, people will talk about a song, a silence, a symbolic action, a service of worship in an unusual place. And yet, clergy commonly hold that it is the sermon or the homily which primarily informs people of their thinking about God. This is an arrogant presumption. It is much more what they sing that shapes their faith. For when the most memorable line of the most rhetorically astute sermon has been forgotten, people will remember the words, "Abide with me," or "Love divine, all love excelling." I dare say when you or I are on our deathbed, we will not ask someone to come quote the favorite sermon of our lives over us, that we might well welcome a hymn, a verse. It's interesting that the very idea of singing in Christianity is different from any other world religion. While every world religion produces some kind of music, show me the tons of hymnals from any other tradition. And it's very logical in a way, because the whole incarnation, the idea that God becomes flesh, really leads naturally to song. Because music from the voice is one of the most material and physical things you can imagine. An incarnation is enfleshment, isn't it? It requires diaphragm and lungs and tongue and lips. It requires the body. Music is fully embodied at its very, very best. And yet the paradox is, it is the most ethereal and spiritual thing we can perhaps experience in worship. I hope over the next 2 days, you'll help me think about how that a cappella music and congregational music, for it to survive, it must be renewed in some way. It's not enough just to try to preserve something as a museum piece or some kind of antiquarian artifact. It must be made new. And it's our call to sing a new song, aren't we? But we also must go deep and think more deeply about the central spirituality of hymnody. And finally, in this series, we want to go wide. I just came from a fabulous session with Leonard Allen, and if you were not in his session, I encourage you to listen to it later. He talked a great deal about how that Christianity is shifting to other parts of the world. He observed that 60% of all the Christians in the world are not in Europe or North America. They're in the global south. And on this table over here to my left, when we're dismissed, I encourage you to go by and look at the hymnals from places like the Thailand and from the Pacific Islands and from Africa. The hymnody of the world is enormously rich, enormously diverse. And it seems to me that we are depriving ourselves of extraordinary musical resources because of our fundamental ignorance or indifference to our Christian brothers and sisters from around the world. Some of the greatest Christian music in the world does not come out of Nashville, I'm sorry, or New York or LA. It comes from Africa, or it comes from the Caribbean, or it comes from places we've never heard of. And we need to discover that. The interesting thing about Christian music is that it's very indigenous by its very nature. It has to be very locally, culturally positioned,
music comes from unique and distinct cultures. There's no other kind that I know of. So we can talk about world music, but really we're talking about the collection of music from many different places and many different locations. John Whitfield is the head of the Calvin Institute for Worship at Calvin College. And he observes that if you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 21, you have a scene there where all of us come together in heaven to worship. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. And the nations will walk by its light. The people will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. And then he goes on to observe that singing in heaven will be very multicultural. That cultures will not be erased in heaven. Their uniqueness will be celebrated. Because the only kind of music I know is music that comes out of a particular culture. In my case, it's the American South. And that's a particular culture. That's a good thing. It just happens not to be the only one. Whitfield observes, in this place of perfect worship, in the immediate experience of God's presence, the culturally particular gifts of the nations find a natural home. Attending choir rehearsals in the holy city promises to be an unequaled multicultural musical fest. And we're asking you to join us today to get that started. So back to Lincoln and Ryan.
Thank you, Daryl. I would like to ask you all to turn in your packets to Tumamina, which is a South African spiritual, Zulu language. And we're going to go through the process today of looking at some fine examples of pieces that you all can take back and use related to the context of worship that we're talking about today. So Tumamina, let's do a little learning on this. I'm going to sing through the melody line once, and then I'll ask you to start repeating it with me. And then as you feel comfortable, just like we did on the first one, feel free to start breaking off into some parts. And if we need some help along the way, we'll determine that and make that decision. But you're doing a pretty good job there on that first one. And then as we get into it a little bit, listen for Lincoln. And as in the first piece, he will break us off into the second, third, and fourth verses by calling out right before we continue on. So here is Tumamina. Tumamina, 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 Somanla. 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 Send me, Jesus, send me, Jesus, send me, Jesus, send me, Lord. Lead me, Jesus, lead me, Jesus, lead me, Jesus, lead me, Lord. Fill me, Jesus, fill me, Jesus. Fill me, Jesus, fill me, Lord.
Save me, Lord.
Save me, Jesus, save me, Jesus. Save me, Jesus, save me, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Praise you.
Praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Lord. Tumamina, 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 Somanla.
Tumamina,
Tumamina, Tumamina,
Tumamina somanla.
Sound great. We're going to go to First Nation America and to the next song, which is a Yuchi hymn. The Yuchi tribe is an American Indian people, and they were originally located in the which is presently the southeastern United States. And in the 1830s, like so many other tribes, were forced to relocate. In their case, they went to the Indian Territory in Oklahoma. And this is a hymn that originated from the community of Yuchi Christians. And if you can see the English translation at the bottom, it's a text of encouragement on our Christian walk. So what we'll do is we're going to sing the refrain a few times, and then we'll stop, and then we'll regroup, and then we'll do it again, and I'll sing the verses, and then we'll go to the refrain in between each verse.
Hile agono, hile athena, hile agono. Hile athena, hile agono, hile athena, hile agono, hile athena.
So, now what I would like for you to try, let's do that again. And let's have my side of the room. We're going to try this as a round. So we're going to come in on the second measure, but we're going to start from the beginning, like a round. So that this side, you're going to start from the beginning as you just sang, and then I'll cue us in to start behind them. Does that make sense? Let's do that a few times, okay? You want to start, Dr. Ward?
Hile agono.
As we do this now, if you'd like to try the round and the refrain just like we did, do that. Okay? So let's try the whole thing now. And whatever you'd like to do with the round, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. And then I'll sing the verses, and in between we'll do the refrain. Okay? On the top.
Hile agono, hile apena, hile agono. Ayano,
I think the next page over, you'll find a piece called "Do You Love Him," which is in English, but is based on a Nigerian folk song. And this is a fun one. This is a nice upbeat piece of music. I think Lincoln and I are going to sort of lead this together. I just want to give you a little clue about the roadmap here. There are some repeats that are a little tricky. So we do the first line there twice each time, and then we drop down to the second line. And we go all the way to the repeat sign at the bottom second bar, take us home, which brings us back to that little letter L in the second system. And we go to the end again. And then we go back up to the top. And you'll sort of get the hang of this. Lincoln and I will demonstrate this right now so you can kind of follow along how this goes, and then we'll all try it together.
Can we do the answer part, don't we, or just do everything?
Oh, let's do it all.
Okay.
Do you love him? Oh yes, I love my Lord. Do you love him? Oh yes, I love my Lord. Do you love him? Hallelujah, when we go to see the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes to take us home. Do you love him? Hallelujah, when we go to see the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes.
And together,
do you love him? Oh yes, I love my Lord. Do you love him? Oh yes, I love my Lord. Do you love him? Hallelujah, when we go to see the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes to take us home. Do you love him? Hallelujah, when we go to see the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes to take us home.
Good. So why don't we go through that again, just to get used to it. Okay? So we'll start with the first verse again, and this time as we go through all the repeats once, we'll come back up and we'll start on verse 2.
Okay?
Ready, and...
Do you love him? Oh yes, I love my Lord. Do you love him? Oh yes, I love my Lord. Do you love him? Hallelujah, when we go to see the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes to take us home. Do you love him? Hallelujah, when we go to see the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes to take us home. Do you trust him? Oh yes, I trust my Lord. Do you trust him? Oh yes, I trust my Lord. Do you trust him? Hallelujah, when we go to see the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes to take us home. Do you trust him? Hallelujah, when he comes to see the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes to take us home. Will you serve him? Oh yes, I'll serve my Lord. Will you serve him? Oh yes, I'll serve my Lord. Will you serve him? Hallelujah, when we go to see the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes to take us home. Will you serve him? Hallelujah, when we go to see the Lord. Hallelujah, when he comes to take us home.
Hey, that's a fun one. That reminds me of that account of Jesus asking Peter, "How many times, you know, do you love me?" And it's like, "Yes, yes, okay, yes, I love you." So it's a great song. It's a great reminder of that. The next song Ryan's going to teach us the refrain is actually right out of Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. This is a Mandarin song. It comes from Taiwan. We're going to look at the refrain first.
What I think we'll do is, if you look there where the three staves are all together, where it says congregation, I think first let's learn the top line or that soprano alto part all together. We'll go through that a couple of times, and then again, as you would like, tenors and basses, peel off and try some of the harmony parts, and I'll listen and see how we're doing, and if we need to check on some of those, we will. So here's the F sharp that we start on, so the congregational part, and
for God's steadfast love endures forever again. For God's steadfast love endures forever. For God's steadfast love endures forever. Steadfast love endures forever.
Next page.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for God's steadfast love endures forever. Skies. For God's love endures forever. Who fixed the earth firmly in the seas? For God's love endures forever. It was God who made the great light. For God love endures forever. The sun to rule in the day. For God love endures forever. The moon and stars in the night, for God's love endures forever. God let Israel inherit their land, for God's love endures forever. On those servants that bestowed, for God's love endures forever. God remembered us in our distress, for God's love endures forever. It was
was God who saved us from our foes. For God's love endures forever. God gives food to all living things. For God's love endures forever. To the God of heaven give thanks. For God's love endures forever.
Ryan's going to talk about lead us in this next song, and I want to just read a scripture to you first. Isaiah 25, 6 through 8. And this song comes out of South Africa and came out of the apartheid resistance and the solidarity there. And this verse really speaks to the nature of this song. Isaiah 25, 6 through 8. Here on Mount Zion, the Lord Almighty will prepare a banquet for all the nations of the world, a banquet of the richest food and the finest wine. Here he will suddenly remove the cloud of sorrow that has been hanging over the nations. The sovereign Lord has swallowed up death forever. He will wipe away the tears from everyone's eyes, and he will take away the disgrace his people have suffered throughout the world. The Lord himself has spoken.
Great. So, in the heavens shone a star. This is a fairly simple melody. I think let's all dive in together. Oh, we're not doing this one.
No, we're doing E paradis.
Okay. So we're doing that one on Thursday. Never mind. E paradis. I was first introduced to this. Most of you are probably familiar with World Vision. And I was fortunate enough in my undergraduate years to work with the World Vision Youth Ambassador Program, which was 50 youth, each from a different country, who formed a choir and toured for 3 months, if you can imagine this. This convergence of cultures all having to get along and survive on long bus trips. And it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. But the Africans in particular would get together, and they were very familiar with each other's folk hymns, even though they weren't from the same country. These things have transcended their borders. And E paradis, I first heard it, not by reading it out of a book, but by a group of Africans sitting together on a bus, and they bursted into this tune. And if you could only imagine how ingrained that is in my memory. Tremendous energy. So this is E paradis. The first thing I want to do is just get us squared away on the pronunciation. So I'll speak through it first. E paradis, e kaya labafile. If you'll just say that, please. E paradis, e kaya labafile. And you say that several times, and then as you get down towards the bottom, you say, kulaposo pumla kona e paradis. Try that. Kulaposo pumla kona e paradis. So let's speak through it together first, just to kind of get the text and the rhythm in our bodies. And it goes something like this. I'll speak through it in rhythm. I paradisi I kaya labafile. I paradisi I kaya labafile. I paradisi I kaya labafile. Kulaposo pumla kona I paradisi. Let's try it together. Two, ready, and. I paradisi, I kaya labafile. I paradisi, I kaya labafile. I paradisi, I kaya labafile. Kulaposo pumla kona I paradisi. A plus, okay? Since we just got out of finals, I'm thinking in these terms, right? Okay. So I will sing through this once, and then immediately we come back to the beginning, and I'll have you join me, all right?
I paradisi, I kaya laba file. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. Kulapo sopumna kona I paradisi. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. Kulapo sopumna kona I para again. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. Kulapo sopumna kona. Second verse in English. I paradisi, where all the dead are living. I paradisi, where all the dead are living. I paradisi, where all the dead are living. May we one day join them all there in. And first verse. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. Kulapo sopum la kona ipa. And last time. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. I paradisi, I kaya laba file. Kulapo sopum la kona I paradisi.
We also want to intersperse it with just a conversation among the three of us. We have been thinking a lot about congregational singing and what might enhance it and what the problems are that might be causing it to be diminished in some ways or marginalized in some ways, and then what we can do about it. I will say this. I think there's a real paradox in Churches of Christ where many churches that are so committed to a cappella music are actually doing things through inaction or through unhelpful action to make it worse rather than better. And so in the spirit of calling a spade, I'd like to talk about that. If you have elders or church leaders or worship leaders who are committed to congregational singing and a cappella singing, then we need to have a real honest conversation about what is it that would enhance it and what is it we're doing right now that's actually detracting from the survival and the well-being and the return and the flourishing of congregational singing. We think there are a lot of things we could do that would make it better, but it's not happening. Even in some of the churches that are most committed to a cappella music, they are actually, I believe, through inaction or poor action, making it worse rather than better. So we'll talk about that, but we'll also be singing some great songs, I think.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for coming.